Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast, the number one podcast to learn about the hottest men's fashion and grooming brand. We interview the brand owners so you get the inside story. We'll also discuss fashion, business, and entrepreneurship, and all things gentlemen. Whether you're looking to advance your career, increase your style, or just discover the best new products, you're in the right place. And now, here's your host, award-winning author, entrepreneur, and business owner, Richard Taylor. Hey, Rich, let's start the show.
Thank you for that introduction and welcome to another edition of The Life of a Gentleman. So glad you guys are joining us on this podcasting journey. Definitely think you're going to enjoy today's show. We're talking with a special guest and we're also talking about lifestyle. You know, we always talk about the life of a gentleman. You hear that phrase. And today we're going to apply it to backyard barbecues and getting together with friends. And this way, this summer, before it winds down, the next time you get out in that backyard and you fire up the grill or you fire up the smoker, you have some different things to think about. Maybe some different foods you can throw on the grill, different ways you can approach a get together. And Dennis and I even talk about backyard barbecue music and what goes along perfect for a great afternoon with family or friends. I think you'll enjoy this discussion. As I mentioned, also we have a special guest, Mr. Johnny Finch. He is a lawyer. He has his own business. And the reason I wanted to have him on, because we want to focus and spotlight entrepreneurial journeys and let you hear from somebody who's actually done it. And so Mr. Finch has actually done this. He stepped out, he started his own law firm, and he tells you some secrets about how you can get the most out of your marketing. And also he has a new book coming out, and it's entitled Black Lawyer Confidential, Keys to Success. And I know what you're thinking, that may be a controversial title, and Johnny talks about that in the interview, but he goes on to say that really this book can be an effective tool for anybody that's going into law. And even if you're not going into law, if you're entering the workforce, stay tuned for a great edition of The Life of a Gentleman. We're about to get things started right now. Would you like to increase your style and enhance your wardrobe the easy way? I have just the thing. Harrison Blake Apparel offers a monthly subscription club for gentlemen. What you get is one necktie plus four additional accessories for only $25 per month. That's right, one necktie plus four additional accessories for only $25 per month. Use the code SEASON at checkout for $15 off your first month. Thanks for listening to The Life of a Gentleman.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of Life of Gentleman podcast. Myself, Dennis Stiles, and I'm with my great co-host, Richard Taylor. What's going on, Rich? It's pretty warm out there right now, man.
Man, we are in the middle of summer. It's hot outside. But you know what? I can't complain, because when it's cold out, I'm always wishing for warmer weather, so I'll be quiet.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know how you feel about 95 to 100, though. Is that good for you?
It's not bad, man. You know, we get all four seasons here in Michigan, so I'm not going to complain. I take it and enjoy it for what it is, because you know what? In a minute, it'll be gone.
Yeah, so if you guys have don't know, you know, how to go about, you know, looking good and stylish, direct yourselves to our last couple of episodes, as we pretty much broke down every summer, you know, style that you could possibly have. So click on that past episodes and you get to hear some nice styling tips for the summer.
Yeah, great point. You know, we touch on a lot of things, especially, man, we're coming up on 100th episode. So as far as fashion goes, man, we've touched on it all. Go back, guys. There's a whole catalog that you can listen to, Dennis and I. And moving forward in the future, we're going to be a little bit more well-rounded, because there's a lot more things that we're interested in, that experts in, that we can give our advice and our opinions. So I'm curious to see what you came up with today. I'm ready to chop it up, man.
All right, man. So listen, warmer weather, what's the thing that you want to look forward to the most? Barbecues. So the first thing you have to have is a house, Rich. So all the homeowners, you know, this is going to be something that you're going to be doing throughout the summer.
Oh, yeah. Barbecue, man, this is the time of year where you get outside, you fire up the grill, smoker, whatever you have, maybe both, and start to get down on the grill, man, because who wants to be stuck in the house? You want to get outside, enjoy some fresh air, crack open an ice cold beer, whatever the case may be, and just enjoy the season, man. This is the season for barbecue. So I've seen you in action. I know what you can do. I know you got the tips. I call myself a pretty good grill master. I'm really getting the hang of a smoker for the past few seasons, so I'm ready to drop some advice too, man. Let's get into it.
All right, let's just talk about a little bit of essentials that you must have, you know, for a nice barbecue. You know, a nice backyard will help, whether it's a back deck, front deck, however you want to do it, and some nice set of friends to enjoy this, family, friends. And, you know, you'd have to sacrifice time because most likely if you're doing it in your house and you're going to somebody's, and we're going to talk a little bit about both, Rich. You know, hosting it or just attending it. You know what? Let's start there, Rich. What do you prefer to do?
I prefer to host. That way, when it's all said and done, all I got to do is walk inside. I don't have to drive home anywhere. So, and I like to control the grill, too. So, you know, I guess I'm selfish that way.
All right. So, you know, whatever Rich makes, whatever he likes, that's what he's going to make. So that's a good thing. A lot of times, you know, I've gone to a few barbecues that, you know, sometimes, you know, the food's okay, but it's not what you prefer. So I was just at my brother's house. We had an amazing barbecue there. We got to try new things, which is fried fish. You know, we had the grill. But then we had the fryer outside, Rich. I mean, you can't beat that. Two going at the same time,
man. I saw that on your IG story. Hey, man, you guys brought the fryer outside. I was jealous, man. I saw that spread. You guys had red snapper. My mouth started watering. I'm like, what are they going to do with this? They're going to grill it. They're going to fry it. So, man, break down. How'd you fry that snapper, man? And if anybody hasn't had snapper.
It's just pretty hard, Rich, to get it. And for some reason, local supermarkets, you know, name supermarkets, don't carry a lot of fish. You know, they carry salmon, but they don't have that snapper. And I'm a big fan of it. I like it fried because I sprinkle on the lemon, a little bit of salt, and that's it, man. You don't need much, man. And so what we did is we had a little small fryer connected to an outlet outside here. All you have to do, guys, put the Crisco oil halfway through, let it heat up for about 5-10 minutes. Drop the fish. You know what the best part about it is? It takes like 5 minutes. And the thing is toasty and crunchy inside. Nice and white.
Yes, perfect. And you know what? I love doing that too. But the great thing about it, like you said, summertime, do it outside, man. You're not smelling up the house. You're in the great outdoors. It's almost like you're camping. It's a lot of fun. Instant gratification, like you said, man. 5 minutes later, you're eating. That's the beautiful thing about fish. And I used to know a guy. Sadly, he passed away from brain cancer. But we used to always get together. Oh, thank you. Yeah, we used to always get together. He was a vegetarian. And so he would barbecue fish on the grill, man. And if anybody's never tried that, you just get one of those sheets that you put on the grill, lay the fish on top of it, and then just kind of rub the barbecue sauce on like you would do with ribs or anything like that. And, man, that just... Every time I see somebody cooking fish outside, I think of that guy. So it was great times.
No, man, that's awesome. And I think what's happening too nowadays is burgers and hot dogs, that's fine, you know, okay. But we're grown here, you know, adults. Let's start making some real food, you know? I mean, how do you feel about that, Rich? When you go somewhere, then the guy has his burgers.
Yeah, man. That's exactly why I want to do it at my house. We don't play that over here. The hot dogs and hamburgers, that's for the kids, you know, and kids under 12. Even my daughter, man, she knows. We raised her right. She don't want that stuff, man. She wants the good stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she wants a T-bone, you know.
Man, big ups to her, man. She's got good head on the shoulders. I like that.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You go to somebody's house for a barbecue and you look at the spread, not to judge, but you see a whole bunch of hamburger and hot dog buns. You already know, man.
It's frozen.
Oh, Oh, man. Yeah, not even hand pressed. No, horrible. There's so many different things you can do on the grill, man. You mentioned salmon. You can smoke salmon or you can put salmon on the grill. What about kebabs, man, with veggies, mushrooms?
I got one for you. How about corn?
Oh.
You ever grill the corn?
Oh, of course. Man, what I do. Butter. Let me tell you how I do this, Dennis. I do it, a lot of people do it differently. I do it in the husk. Have you ever had it like that? Yeah, you soak the corn, let it get nice and wet, all the moisture builds inside, throw that sucker right on the grill, and what happens is it steams itself on the inside. Now, once it's done, it's gonna be hot, but so be careful pulling it off. Again, instant gratification right off the grill. Pull the husk back, dip it in some butter that you've been already melted and pull that sucker out. There you go. You got some corn. That's your side.
Money.
Yeah, that's money there.
That's pretty good, man. So another thing too that I like to do is I like the ribeye. I have some ribeye. You like it a little bit bloody, when you put it on the charcoal, it's nice and crisp outside, but the inside, man, it's tender. Ooh. That ribeye came out nice, man. Especially when you just cut it on the board and it slices right off of it, smoothly.
Yep. That's all you need. A lot of people overcook it. You're right. So I know that a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want pink on the inside and this and that. But you know what? That's really the way that you get the most juicy and flavorful meat. I mean, don't do that with pork. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're just getting into cooking, but with a steak, it's totally fine. Light pink, medium pink on the inside. I'm telling you right now, it will give you a new steak experience. But you talked about going over somebody's house. Now, when you show up, though, do you just show up empty-handed, or how do you like to show up?
I mean, that's the key. You better make an appearance at the supermarket. Now, this doesn't mean that you're just going to bring a pack of hot dogs, man, because that's one thing that they probably have a bunch of. What you have to do, Rich, you have to bring something that you know is probably not going to be at that person's house. That's the way I look at it. Whether it's a bottle of vodka, a name brand, I'm not talking about some Smirnoff, man. Nice bottle of vodka, two bottles of wine, or a dessert. You know, just in case the guy says, you know, we have enough, you know, food in here, get that dessert. Because later night, you know what I like, Rich, after all the food has been destroyed, cup of coffee, and a pastry.
Yeah, that's the one right there, dessert.
When you show up.
Yeah, that's kind of our go-to.
Apple pie, how's that, Rich?
Yeah, we just were over somebody's house last weekend, and actually that's exactly what we brought. We brought an apple pie with a crumb cake topping, and they threw down, man. They grilled out. They did a pork loin on the grill. You know, I was worried. We hadn't been over there before, and they said, yeah, come on over. I saw the grill going, and I thought, here we go, hamburgers, hot dogs. And they opened it up, man. They opened it up. They had everything. They had the corn. They made homemade mashed potatoes on the inside, but then on the outside, the pork loin. Just a little bit of barbecue sauce, just rubbed it on at the end. Perfect, man. Guys, step it up when it comes to grilling this year. Think outside the box. Think if you like seafood, do shrimp on the grill. You just put it on a skewer, doesn't take long.
Good point.
You know, quick, doesn't take long at all.
Shish kebabs, you know, with those shish kebabs, get creative.
Mix it up. And if you do hamburgers on the grill, and you do hot dogs on the grill, please, toast the buns. Don't give me a cold, soggy bun. Don't give me a cold, soggy bun, please.
That cold bun is probably going to crack as soon as you crush it.
Oh, man, let me ask you. This is just a funny one before we close out. All right, so you got your hot dog, right? You say it's basic hot dog. Ketchup or no ketchup on your hot dog?
Oh, man. Ketchup mustard, man. I'll take chili, too, if there's around.
It should be around.
To be honest, that's my first choice, chili.
Yeah, mine's chili. I'm a relish mustard guy. Give me relish and mustard.
Yeah, you know what? Ketchup is for kids, man. It's
too sweet.
Listen, we're just trying to say we're grown ups now, man. Let's create that environment where we invite people over, and trust me, people are gonna walk away impressed. Know who's coming. Know that person is a vegetarian, or she likes, they like this, he likes that.
Oh, man.
You're able to have food for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing you can do, if they are vegetarian, get a foil pan, and I like to chop up onions and peppers and mushrooms and maybe some cherry tomatoes, and kind of have those just roasting on the side burner. And that way, it's a great topping. You know, let's say you have chicken breast, somebody can just come over and kind of scoop up some of the veggies and throw that on their sandwich, or just have it for a side. It's just a great way to incorporate some vegetables, you know, with all that meat, so we're not just like cavemen out there.
Yeah, that's a great point, man. That's another thing too. You gotta be prepared, Rich. The time you're before, right? Usually you have to cook yourself about what, 12 hours of making sure the meat is nicely seasoned.
Yeah, at least minimum. Especially with the smoker, it's about 24. And I totally brine all the meat. It's submerged in seasoning. And I add brown sugar and everything. So when I pull that meat up out of there 24 hours later and I throw it in the smoker, that meat's real happy.
How was that barbecue? So that barbecue you went with a couple of days ago, last week, it was that good, huh?
Yep, hats off to them. Did a great job. So we'll return the favor later on this season. And before we close out, though, we got time for one last question. Maybe one of the most important questions for a barbecue, Dennis. What kind of music, man? What's the soundtrack?
Well, let's talk about two things, actually. We're going to talk about alcohol. It's not going to be, it's not a juice bar. It's not sodas. You have to have some type of beers, cold ones. Corona is always good for the summer. Any IPA, I think you have to go light because you tend to eat a lot. So I think the lighter the beer, the better. How do you feel about that?
In the summertime, yeah, light. Corona's good.
More refreshing drinks.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity to work with a brand, so I made the Italian Spritzer first time, and that was good.
Yeah, keep it light. But definitely got to have the music, man. For me, a lot to choose from. Some Earth, Wind, and Fire never hurt anybody, though.
No, but you know what, man? Let's talk a little bit about your post from last night. So, Patty.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's got to be soul music, man, because how do you feel about that? I mean, there's kids around. I don't want to hear no hardcore back.
No. Some soul music, man. 70s, 80s soul music, you know.
80s fun music, man.
Yeah. Keep it light, man. We're up in Michigan, so you might hear some Motown, but keep it light. Keep it PG, man. There's kids around, and you have neighbors. Your neighbors don't want to hear all that. Try to be respectful. And just have a lot of fun, man. It's summertime, guys. Let's get out there. It's time we grow up. And Dennis, man, I love the tips, man. And I'm still jealous of that snapper that you guys had.
Yeah, hopefully you get a chance to try it, man. Just go to, pretty much one of the, what a local market is the one that usually have those fish.
Yep.
They're fresh, and listen, they're not expensive. That big, huge fish, Rich, cost me about $12 each.
No, not bad at all. And it feeds a lot of people. It'll fill you up, and you're not too full. You won't walk away, feeling like you got to roll yourself home. So it's a great thing about fish.
Exactly. That's the problem with going with the all burger and hot dogs buffet. It's just not going to work for your stomach. You're going to feel out of shape and tired in a few hours.
Yeah, no, you get to be our age. Hamburgers and hot dogs is for kids, man. So, hey, looking forward to our discussion next week. We got a big announcement next week, guys. So stay tuned to the show, and you will definitely not want to miss our next episode.
All right, guys, take care and keep those grills running.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Gentlemen, welcome to my favorite segment of the podcast, where we talk to a successful entrepreneur, somebody who has done it, what you're trying to do, and certainly will help to motivate and inspire you. And today we have a special guest that will do just that. Attorney Johnny Finch is on the line, ready to inspire us. Let's hear his story, and let's give him a warm welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, sir.
Oh, we are glad to have you on because you're somebody who has ventured into a profession that is very prestigious. You know, a lot of people hear attorney and, man, they wonder, how in the world did you do that? And also, sometimes people wonder, why did you decide to go into that field? Why don't we just kick it off like that? What's your journey been like, and has this been something you've always wanted to do?
Absolutely not. Anytime I talk about my journey, I say, you know, God definitely had his hand on it the whole time. I graduated from undergrad at Little City State University. It was criminal justice at the time when I left. I wasn't thinking about law school. I just wanted to find a job. After that, I worked for the Department of Juvenile Justice for about 7 years. I worked with some trouble teens there. I didn't know that was actually my preparation for my career later on. I was introduced to a judge when I was about 28 years old, and he suggested law school, and I said, you know what, why not? You know, nothing I'd ever thought about. And then when I got in law school, I realized, you know, me not thinking about all those years, it was rough, but there was something about the moment, and there was something about the challenge that let me know or gave me my confirmation that I needed to be there. And from there, started practicing law back in my hometown, a small country town called Little City, North Carolina. And from there, we moved to Greenville, North Carolina. So we have two locations now. And I work with, for the most part, still young, underprivileged minorities with their criminal issues in court. We do some civil rights law as well as personal injury cases. But the bulk is in the community every day. So I like to think myself as a street lawyer. The common problems that a common man has every day, I'm generally there with.
Hey, that's really great. You know, some of the things I picked up on when you went through your story is you didn't go into law school right from undergrad. And there's a lot of people out there, they're dissatisfied with their job. They kind of want more. They want to do more. But they're afraid to take that next step, whether it's entrepreneurship or diving into a new career. What advice would you give to somebody who's been having that idea of law school in the back of their mind? What would you tell them, even though maybe they've been out of school for a while, is it still possible for them?
Well, the first thing I would say is every moment that you doubt yourself is probably 6 months to a year that you lose, because whatever you're going to do, there's probably going to be an educational process or there's going to be a training process. So while you're doubting yourself, you're putting years to your life. If you decide you want to switch careers or you decide that you want to go back to school, you're probably going to have to take an entrance exam, which you're going to have to study for. They're only going to offer it 3 to 4 times a year. So when you feel the batter on your back, you know, go ahead and get started right then, because you can always go and fail, but if you never do it, then you'll never know.
I like that.
That's absolutely nothing most of the time. I had a lot of young ladies and gentlemen in law school with me with 3, 4, 5 kids, single parents, or they were newly married, got pregnant while they were in school. I mean, people do it all the time, but it's all about that laser focus.
I like that. Laser focus is what we need, man. And like you said, you can't doubt yourself. Other people have done it. Why can't we do it, right? Johnny, I wanted to ask you because I saw you had a book coming out. And, man, the title of the book is real provocative, caught my eye, Black Lawyer Confidential. What is that all about? Speak to that a little bit.
Well, when I was in law school, I mentioned before that I went to an HBCU, a Little City State University, and the demographics at that time were about 95% black and 5% white or anything else. When I went to law school years later, it was the exact opposite. So the day that I stepped into law school was a total culture shock for me, because I was in a class full of 100 individuals, and maybe one was a minority, and that may not even have been black. It may have been Indian or Asian. So I'm sitting in the class and I'm wondering, you know, what in the world is going on? It brought up a lot of emotions in me. A lot of lot of insecurities. A lot of the guys that were in class with me, it appeared that they were so polished. You could tell that they came from very, very rich families. That was not my background. And pretty much nobody where I was from was, you know, super duper rich. And so, you know, I was feeling intimidated. I was feeling insecure. And so what I did was I started writing little journals for myself. During that time, I was just, you know, totally raw. Hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I think about the situation. This is what I think about my peers. I thought about my struggles in law school. I thought about my successes. Well, then years later, once I started actually practicing law, I could see some of the things that I was talking about law school that were kind of transcending into law practice. And then I started studying certain lawyers, such as Thurgood Marshall and Johnny Cochran. And through these guys' great careers, I could see things in my life. And I'm like, well, if I can see things in their lives, these guys are great. Certainly, if I start writing a book right now, just talking about my experience, anyone who's thinking about going to law school, black or white, or especially if they're a minority, will be able to learn from my experiences, and maybe they'll be more prepared going into law practice and law school because they were able to get that. And I felt like not giving that back to the world would be an injustice because I learned so much during that time. But while I'm learning it, if I'm not giving it back, people are being set back because, you know, for me during law school, like I struggled mightily, and in the end I did very, very well. But if I had been more equipped, I could have done better in law school. So that was kind of my thing. If I can give this to the next generation of law students, they know it, they see the material, and they could remain focused on the things that are important, maybe they can do better. Because we had a lot of our students not be able to academically strong enough to be able to finish law school as well.
That makes sense. And it's nice that you're giving back. It seems like that's really big and that's important for you. You know, but I want to transition. Once you got out of law school, a lot of people, when they get out of law school, they start to work for, you know, a nonprofit organization, or they try to get with a big firm and they're just billing a lot of hours. But it seems like, you know, you took a different path. You decided to start your own practice, which is something I have to applaud, because on this show, we talk about entrepreneurship so much. What made you want to start your own practice? And if I heard you right, you went back to your roots and started there.
Well, first thing was, and I talk about it in the book a lot, if you know that you want to practice law in a certain area, you need to be in law school close to that area. So the day that you start practicing law, you know all of the players, so all the judges, you know all the clerks, you know all the lawyers. If you start practicing law without knowing these individuals, it doesn't matter if you're the best lawyer in the world, because you won't be able to get things done because you'll waste too much time. Of course, we all know time is money. So I did know that I wanted to practice in Northeastern North Carolina. My law school was only 45 minutes from my hometown. So every minute that I was not at school, I was back in my hometown interning with either a lawyer or a district attorney's office or a public defender's office, just trying to get to know the people, because I knew from law school that concepts are always going to come. But one strength that I knew, and that a lot of my mentors impressed upon me, was like, you have the ability to go places and meet people and you're really comfortable with it. So just stay with that. So what I would do is, it may be a murder trial. I'd be taking notes, but for the most part, I was trying to learn the lawyer, I was trying to learn the judge, and I was trying to learn the clerks and the people that made things go. So I mean, it was a no-brainer for me to go back home to practice law. I actually started with a small firm in the beginning, which I would suggest starting with a firm before actually opening up your own spot, because there's a lot of, if you've never ran a business before, you kind of need to see what your boss is doing right or wrong. And it was a small shop. What actually happened was, within the first year, I started building my client base. I was in a situation where if I didn't bring clients in, then I wouldn't get paid. And so, while at the time, to me, I was like, man, I don't know if I can do this. Well, after a year, you know, all of the checks were coming in. They were coming in pretty good. My client base was pretty good. And I could see where the amount that I was, percentage that I was paying my boss, was actually more than what I needed to run my own firm. Now, I love my boss to death,
but they were actually, they were white, which was, you know, great. You know, I get along with white people fine, but my client base or my target market was African American. And so there were certain things that I couldn't do marketing-wise to get to my base that I knew I could do if I had my own firm, because people recognize me from the community and, you know, my family has been there for a very, very long time. So as soon as I saw that I was in a position to make way too much money for the firm that year, I went on, you know, let my boss know what I was doing and just went on and opened up my firm. And the great thing about it was it wasn't scary because I already had clients coming in. I already knew what to expect to bring in as far as billing. And I already had a marketing strategy based off of the brand that we had built with the other firm for my individual lawyer aspect, where I could go ahead and put it into community. So we were doing a lot of fun things. We, you know, fed the poor. We would have the local DJ to come to the firm, and he would, you know, spend for two or three hours. Just a lot of fun stuff that we were doing that was marketing the community and just having a presence. So
you got creative. You really got creative with it. And that's one thing you have to do with entrepreneurship. You have to think outside the box. It seems like you kind of mastered that, and it worked in your favor because now you have two locations and things like this. So you're in a position really to give some advice, Johnny. I would love if you just kind of, you know, give some advice to the entrepreneurs out here that are listening. You know, they may not have law firms, but they have businesses. What tips would you give on thinking outside the box when it comes to getting new customers?
Well, the first thing I would say is, you know, informal education is important. Whatever your craft is, there's, you know, a million books on Amazon just talking about numbers, crunching numbers, and then just understanding your target market. I understood that very well from doing informal education and just looking at who was coming in, the clients that I had. Now, the great thing about it was I matched my target market. So when I'm sitting across from my client, 9 times out of 10, we come from the same background. I understand how they think. You know, we may have played basketball together growing up. So my brain is right there. I know what they're trying to accomplish. I know the results that they want. And I also know what attracts them. So when I'm thinking about all the things that I want to do marketing-wise, it's easy, because what do I want to do? I would like to go to a basketball tournament. I would like to go to a cookout. I would like to be educated on knowing how to communicate with police officers when I'm stopped, or how to conduct myself during a job interview, or any of these things that are important to me. So I just put it back out. So I said the number one thing is just like, don't let anyone know your target market better than you. And if you can do that, you should always do is watch people in other parts of the country, especially with social media right now. I mean, if you go on my social media, all you see pretty much is lawyers for the most part, because I'm always watching what these guys are doing on the other parts of the country. Probably, most likely, your competitors locally won't help you, but if you reach out to other lawyers or other people in your trade, you know, if they're not in your particular locality, if they're in California, they'll love to talk to you, and they'll tell you what they're doing. You can tell them what they need to share a trade secret. So I would say, get to know as many people as you can, get as many ideas as you can. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you do have to have a network of people that you can pull from, because they'll tell you what won't work as well.
I love that. It's always good to network. It's always good to rub shoulders with people doing great things. And that's what this podcast is all about. But at this time, what I would love for you to do is let everybody know your social media, because you mentioned it. And also, if you have a website, let them know how they can get in touch with you and more information on the book, so when it's available, they can get their hands on a copy and we can really support you, because we appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, sir. My social media is, for Facebook, is my name, Johnny Finch, J-O-H-N-N-I-E, Finch, F-I-N-C-H. My Instagram is Cool Relax, C-O-O-L-R-E-L-A-X-E-B. If you go to my Instagram or the blogs of Johnny Finch Facebook page, you see a lot of information about the book. My the book is actually on my publisher's page, which is postscriptpublishing.org. That'll be the only place where you can actually purchase the book. And the pre-release date is July 4th. So that'll be the day that it actually goes on the market for purchase only on postscriptspublishing.org. Really excited about that.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Sounds like a great read and, you know, really motivational for people who are trying to transition into a new field. And Johnny, I really can't say thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you have a lot of things going, but it was great to connect. And definitely, let's keep in touch in the future. And thank you for coming on The Life of a Gentleman.
Thank you so much. Please keep inspiring. I appreciate you so much, sir.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Guys, so glad you came along for the ride. We certainly appreciate it. This show would be nothing without the listener base. Also, please, could you do us a favor? Could you rate, review, and subscribe to the show? If you leave a rating, that's really going to help us. We'd sincerely appreciate it. But also, it's only going to take like 30 to 60 seconds of your time. So, man, you'd be doing us a huge favor. We really appreciate that. Also, speaking of favors and thank yous, we want to say a big, big thank you and a round of applause to our guest today, Mr. Johnny Finch from the Finch Law Firm. Definitely came on, dropped some good knowledge, definitely talking about how we can increase our marketing, how we can really test the market first before you just dive out there and start a business. You know, sometimes a lot of us are eager to get our business off the ground, but you can also learn and crawl before you walk and walk before you run. And that's something Johnny did with his business. Now he has two offices, so look at him. That's just a great testament to what you can do if you put your mind to it. Also, a special thank you to Dennis for dropping by and talking about barbecue. Definitely gave us a lot to think about. I'm pretty hungry myself just talking about it, and can't wait to get out on the grill this weekend. And yeah, confession time. Now, I've been thinking about throwing some lobster on the grill. I've never done that before. I've heard people do it. So I'll let you know how that turns out maybe in an upcoming episode. So guys, as always, we appreciate you tuning in. And if you know somebody that may be interested in this gentleman's lifestyle, please pass it on. We're definitely trying to spread the word about the show and always looking to interact with you on Instagram at Gentleman's Podcast. Don't forget, get in touch. A lot of you have been leaving DMs and you can attest to the fact that we do respond. So let's stay connected. Until next time, guys, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties, lapel pins, and much more. Join the monthly subscription club where you will receive one necktie and four accessories for $25. To learn more, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com.